Welcome to Oklo's podcast. I'm Bonita Chan, the Director of Marketing and External Relations at Oklo. In this episode, I interviewed Rob, who is our development manager at Oklo, to discuss how to leverage advanced technology to tackle the world's challenges. We hope you enjoy. Again for joining me, Rob. You are the development manager at Oklo. But before you join the Oklo family, you really have such an impressive background. You are a graduate from the Harvard Kennedy School. You also worked at Google before you joined Oklo. Do you mind taking just a little bit of time sharing your background with us?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a pleasure and honor to be on your series that you're doing. This is really cool. I like watching these. So before I started at Google, actually, I found myself on a small team in the Middle East, and we were a venture firm investing in Arab startups, mostly women-led CEO founders. Really fascinating. And what I loved about that was, you know, there's so many talented people out there, especially in that region, a region that's dear to my heart. And to be able to provide access to capital to those folks. And then in turn, you know, help the region get access to more technology, which we know can change lives in a lot of ways. So a little bit after that, I found myself at Google, and as you mentioned, and made my way to a team called Google Cuba. And Cuba is a region I had done a little bit of work in, had traveled there, and was starting to open up under the Obama administration. And this small team led by some really brilliant colleagues of mine was focused on expanding internet access in Cuba. And so, you know, going from access to technology in the Middle East to access to a different kind of technology in Cuba, you know, I found that tech and, you know, people working together, willing to kind of not ask for permission, but just build things, was really an inspiring narrative for me. And I felt lucky to work on those. Of course, in Cuba, we did ask for permission in some ways. You know, we worked with the Cuban government and we had the blessing of the US government. So that's kind of what I did, you know, before grad school. And, you know, coming out of grad school and going to Oklo, I think a lot of people would say, you know, nuclear energy, how did you get there? But for me, it was kind of the natural next step. For me, you know, climate change and energy poverty are two of the most pressing issues of our day. And what I saw in what Oklo is doing is using one of the most powerful tools we have, kind of reinventing it in a new way to help resolve those issues. And so we can talk a bit more about, you know, what Oklo is doing later, but that's a bit about my background and kind of how I got to where I am now.
Thank you for sharing. And it's such an impressive background that you have so much experience in the tech world and also the startup world, which I'm sure is so relevant in a lot of the things that you're doing at Oklo. And you touched upon this earlier a little bit. You're right in terms of, you know, clean energy, it's such a really rewarding field to be working in. And it touches so many aspects of life. And especially when you're talking about environmental justice as well. How optimistic are you when it comes to the development and progress that we get to see by giving access to people that need clean, reliable, and affordable energy?
Yeah, it's first off, I'll say, you know, it is disappointing to look at the numbers of how many millions of people still live without electricity. And if you look at what electricity can do for a community, you know, powering home appliances frees up time for mostly women to move away from those domestic duties and pursue an education, pursue a vocational work. You know, education can power hospitals, refrigeration, the drugs that need to be refrigerated, the food that needs to be refrigerated, just completely transforms a community. And if you look over, you know, throughout history, economic development and poverty alleviation is strongly correlated with access to energy. And as developing countries look to have more reliable energy, we want it to be affordable and we want it to be carbon free. And there are very few tools in our toolkit right now to do that. You know, the cheapest, fastest way to do it is to build a coal plant or a natural gas plant. Obviously, we don't want to do that, especially with the millions of people that need energy. You know, that would be a lot more in terms of carbon emissions. And so nuclear is especially advanced nuclear is a really elegant solution to those problems. You get the affordable aspect, at least, you know, that's what I'm seeing in terms of what we're building. That's something that advanced nuclear facilities can do. You get the reliable aspect. You know, a community doesn't want off and on access to electricity. And of course, renewables, you know, wind and solar, which do turn off and on, those are going to be an important tool as well in reducing global carbon emissions. But nuclear kind of has that unique space in that it's reliable, it's clean, and it can be affordable. And so when we're talking about environmental justice, both, you know, abroad and in developing countries and both at home, where we do have reliable energy, but we don't want the prices to skyrocket, and we do want to move away from fossil fuels, nuclear energy is once again like a really elegant solution for that. And what I love about what we're doing at Oklo is that we're building both for niche markets, the places that, you know, burn tons of diesel, pay enormous costs, they need a small generator, or they need a backup generator. We're building for them, but we're also building for the mass market, you know, regional utilities that can buy electrons from nuclear facilities. And we hope to play a role in that. And I'll also give a shout out to like the existing fleet of nuclear reactors, which do provide a huge amount of electricity to our domestic grid, and are the largest source of carbon-free electricity we have today. And so, yeah, I'm optimistic. I think there's a lot that we can do to help resolve those two issues, climate change and poverty alleviation. But it's going to take a lot of work too, and we're kind of in the middle of it.
I love how thoughtful you are in responding, and it brought me back because I grew up in Hong Kong, and my grandmother, she grew up in a small little island close to Hong Kong, and just like how you described, she didn't have the luxury of having reliable energy, and therefore it affected a lot of different aspects of her life. So growing up, she has other sisters, none of them went to school. So things like that, it can be really impactful to have reliable energy. And then, you know, a few generations later, here I am, I'm able to grow up in Hong Kong, have the education, but also move to North America. It's exciting how...
That's an incredible story. I mean, I should be, based on that alone, I should be interviewing you. That's really cool.
Yeah, we can definitely talk more about that. So thank you for being so thoughtful in your response. And, you know, speaking of making emissions free power available to the world, just focusing domestically, a huge player that can really impact that, how quickly we can decarbonize our power sector, is the regulator, the US Nuclear Regulatory Commission. So as a world-leading regulator, they really set the stage for advanced vision by accepting our custom combined license application, which is great, very exciting. What are your views on viewing the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission as a climate agency?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good question. The NRC does enjoy kind of status as the gold standard in terms of licensing nuclear reactors. And so I'd say, you know, as an American, I'm very proud of them for that. And the reason is because we do have 20% of our electricity grid comes from nuclear. And that is an enormous source of carbon-free electricity. I'll say that, you know, there's a lot of work to do in terms of the NRC getting to a place where it's licensing a lot of advanced reactors, which we need in order to solve these global issues. And so, it's been interesting, and it's been fun to kind of work with them through that process. And I'm not personally leading that, but to watch it and be part of it in some ways as the organization, the agency evolves together with us to kind of, you know, get to a point where we can license advanced reactors. I would agree with you that it should be viewed as a climate agency. I wish more folks would look at it that way. You know, we're seeing in these Biden executive orders a lot of investment, a lot of focus on clean energy technology that is, you know, kind of pitched as producing a lot of new jobs, helping us decarbonize, helping people who work in the fossil fuel industry kind of transition over to clean energy technology jobs. I think that's really great. The Department of Energy's, you know, has a seat at the table there. A lot of other agencies have a seat at the table there. But what we're not seeing is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission kind of being more part of that process. And I would like to see them be kind of agile and frankly receive the invitation to be part of this process. So I think it's an interesting question. I'd like to see them more involved in kind of all the executive level stuff for these new climate initiatives.
That's a really good point. And speaking of that, not only NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, plays a major role in how quickly we can decarbonize, but politics, policies, they all have a big role to play as well. So, and nuclear is unique because nuclear has bipartisan support on nuclear, which is really unique. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why I was really excited about Oklo was because I saw, like many others, that we were kind of reaching this point of bipartisan agreement on nuclear energy. And it used to be that, you know, during Republican administrations, they'd invest a bit more. Democratic administrations, they'd invest a bit less in nuclear energy. But we're getting to a point with the climate threat where most people, and as far left as you can go, they're saying nuclear needs to be part of this mix, you know, this solution set. And so I'm excited about that. I was excited to see the Democratic Party actually write nuclear energy and advance nuclear into their platform. That's a pretty big deal. And I was excited to see President Biden mention advanced nuclear fission many times in his climate platform. He hasn't, you know, nothing's been mentioned since he's been in office. Nuclear specifically hasn't been called out in any of the executive orders, but clean energy technology has. And it's been kind of phrased in a way that kind of encompasses all of those good tools we have, wind, solar, batteries, hydro, and nuclear. And so I'm excited to see what happens. I think we're in a really good place in terms of objective and kind of rational thinking around nuclear energy. And if you look at the numbers and if you consider the positive impact that nuclear energy has had, on global carbon emissions, on saving lives, in terms of like industry safety standards, you know, it's all really impressive. And so I'm glad we're kind of coming together around this technology.
Definitely. I know for me, I'm feeling very optimistic after Biden launching Climate Day this week and seeing the executive order. You're right, nuclear isn't specifically mentioned, but it's still very optimistic and I'm hopeful to see what will happen. Something that did stand out to me is the focus on scientific integrity. And I think something that we're really proud of at Oklo is working with a technology that is a scientific breakthrough that were demonstrated in the nation. And we're harnessing that and taking it all the way through to commercialization. So thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. And to close, I just wanted to get your thoughts on what is inspiring you on this journey as we working really hard towards commercializing and developing a suite of Oklo powerhouses starting early 2020s.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of like what I've said, you know, Oklo, we have a really cool product. It's a really elegant solution to some really major problems. And I think one of the best parts about it is I get to work with such brilliant people, much, much smarter than me here at Oklo. And it's a mission-driven group. You know, we're basically a group of climate activists, and it's impressive to kind of to watch and learn from all the motivation and all of the expertise that is being thrown at this problem. So it's inspiring. There's a lot of work to be done. It requires the help from a lot of parties, but I'm excited that Oklo is kind of leading the way. I think you might have mentioned this, but we're pretty far along in the process. You know, the NRC has accepted our COLA, our combined operating license application, and we're moving forward. And, you know, we're taking the help we can get, but we're also not waiting around for someone else to solve problems for us. You know, we're kind of reaching and trying to make things happen. So I'm excited about that.
Exactly. And we're making really, really great progress in just the last little bit. We're the first advanced vision company, like you said, to have a combined license application accepted for review. But even beyond that, we have demonstrated our field prototype. We have fuel awarded by the DOE to demonstrate the recycling of fuel, and also a site permit to actually build. So lots of exciting things happening. And thank you for taking the time today and for inspiring the rest of us at Oklo.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.